Well, Lord, we bless you this morning and give you the highest praise. We thank you for your grace and mercy that's fresh and new every day. And we thank you, Father, that you're mindful of the little things, of cars that won't start, in the midst of traffic. And just as our brother Paul said, Lord, remind us to call you first in all things. That you are our source, you're our provision, and you're our strength. We thank you, Father, that you are on call 24/7, 365. And we never get a busy signal. Thank you, Lord. Lord, open our ears this morning that we might hear your word. And whatever is spoken here this morning, may it honor you and bring glory to your name. Let the hearer hear those things that you are saying, and that you would encourage us and strengthen us today in your word. In Jesus' name, and the church said, amen. You know, one of the things that in ministering over 40 years in ministry, that in talking with people that come for prayer and different things, one of the things that's always kind of obvious when there's a struggle and they're dealing with things they have no control of, and when they're dealing with situations that they're unsure of, and you can sense the burden of the Lord and the anxiety over the situation. That there's a sense of fear of what we don't know. Come on, help me this morning, because we're all in this boat. How quickly we can get anxious about something and fearful. How many of you like to have been in the boat with the disciples when the storm came on the Sea of Galilee in a little old fishing boat that stretches the imagination of a fishing boat? It was more like a glorified canoe on the big Sea of Galilee. And it was in the middle of the darkest part of the night. And the storm came. It had been brewing for several hours. And they didn't have a clue what was about to happen. They were on their way to follow after Jesus' instructions to go to the other side of the lake. But all of a sudden, that wind off of the Mediterranean Sea, where that storm had been working hours before they set sail. And they came across that big valley of Jezreel, this huge valley in the heartland up in the Galilee of Israel. And it began to blow with a magnitude and force that only storms off of the sea can bring. And as it blew across that great valley of Jezreel, it began to narrow down to the little valley that goes from Jezreel, this big plain, over to the Sea of Galilee. And it would be like putting 500-gallon pressure of a big water line into a 6-inch pipe. Now, brethren, what does that do for pressure? The winds begin to blow, and the waves begin to wash over the boat. And they forgot the message of Jesus, is I want you to go to the other side. And how many times we can easily forget when the winds begin to blow, and we find ourselves in travail. And they were afraid, the Bible says. And my southern tradition would tell you That means they were flat scared, okay? They were unsure of what was about to happen. I want to tell you today that fear can be one of the most debilitating things that can happen to you. When you get afraid, that is not a God attitude. When you get afraid of something and fearful, that's not God's plan. Because He doesn't want you afraid of anything. Because He is in control. He says it time and time again. How many of you want some of this morning? The Bible says, how many of you want to know what the Bible says? Who cares what man's got to say? What's God got to say? Psalms 27, the Word of God says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." What? Whom? Come on. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers come upon me and devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumble and fail. Though a host encamp against me, my heart, everybody say heart. It's in here where it takes place, church. It's in here. The mind, you cannot depend on your mind to clue you in with anything. You better have something in your heart that communicates to your mind and says, chill out. We don't need to be anxious or full of fear. That my God is in charge of this thing. He's the one that's ruling and reigning. And my life is in His hands. What have I got to be anxious about? Paul said it this way. Hey, folks. For me to die is gain. What's the greatest fear most people have? Dying. And Jesus said to His disciples, He said, guys, don't sweat the small stuff. I've got it worked out. Don't be anxious about it. I've already prepared a plan. I'm going. And where I am, you're going to be there also. I love to talk about that at a funeral. Because, you know, most times at a funeral and many times at a funeral, the old pastor, he gets kind of drawn out and, oh, how bad things are, you know, in a sense. And, how bad this situation is. And I want to say, no. You know, Jesus says, be excited about this moment. Because I'm going out of here. I'm leaving here. But I'm not leaving you by yourself. I'm going to be here with you in the meantime while I'm up there preparing a place for you. For where I am, you're going to be also. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't let something stir in here that's going to cause you to be anxious about anything, even death. Paul said, what? For me to die is gain. But I'm going to hang around for your sake, Paul said. Oh, glory. When it's time, church, hey, I am out of here. Come on, Brother Lindy. It's better in another place. I am gone. And somebody shout for me. They said, oh, Jim is enjoying himself today. Oh, glory. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Turn over to Psalms 46, if you're in your Bible. Psalms 46 says this. That God, everybody say God, is our refuge and strength. And Paul found out in the midst of a storm, sitting in the middle of the road with a truck that wouldn't go, he found out that he's a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not, what the Bible says, we will not fear or be anxious, though the earth should change, though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar out of foam, though the mountains quake and its swelling pride. God is our source. He is our refuge and our strength. No fear. Everybody say, no fear. No fear. God is with us. He promised that. I will never, what? Ever. All 6 days of the week, I'm going to be with you. 23 hours of the day. 364 days of the year. I will always be with you. I will never, ever leave nor forsake you. And no matter what your mess is, God's going to be in that mess with you. He's going to help you. He didn't put you there, but He is your way out. And be anxious for nothing. And don't be fearful, because the answer's on its way. This is good to me, church. I am preaching to myself today. And I'm inviting you to come with me. Turn over to Psalm 118. Psalm 118, verse 5 says, "From my distress I called on the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me in a large place." How many of you want the large place? Hey, get me out of this little stuff. I want to move over here to the big place. I want to get set free of being bound up, see, and closed in. Get me out of here. I want to get to that large place he's talking about. Get me to the large place. "For my distress I called on the Lord, and He answered me and set me in a large place. For what the Lord is for me, I will not fear." Now, church, God is for us. We cannot, I really don't believe until we get up there that we're going to fully understand just how much God was with us down here. I know I fall short. I know I don't grab hold all God has for me. We don't believe big enough. We don't understand many times how big God is. You mean to tell me that God, who created this world and spoke it into existence and created the heavens and the sun and the moon and galaxies that even the astronomers today say we can't even see the end of it. It's bigger than we thought it was. Duh. I mean, I know that didn't come as a big surprise to a believer. Now, you mean to tell me that God is not big enough for your mess and helping us out of here? But how quickly, church, how quickly that we can fall back and let the enemy of our soul put us in fear. Be fearful and afraid of the future, of what's now, of what we've got to deal with, and what's coming. This sweet thing right here has got something coming. She is pretty pregnant. And most any day now, there's going to be something happening. She's going to bring forth the blessing of God, the gift of God. Only God can do this. This is life, His life. This is the one time that a human being can partner with God to do the greatest miracle in the world. And that's to bring forth life. What a partnership. It's awesome. And you mean today we have the audacity to say we're going to kill that thing? God, forgive us for all that's happened and is happening. I don't, Brother Ray, I'd like to, but I can't, brother. I got to move on. Oh, glory. From my distress, I called upon the Lord, and he answered me and set me in a large place. For as for me, I will not fear. For the next part of this is so important. It says, for what can man do? What can man do? I mean, man is not our source. How many times people say, I'm afraid I'm going to lose my job. I'm afraid I can't get my next job, or I'm afraid of such and such. I'm afraid this man is going to hurt me. We're not to be afraid of man. Man has no control and no power unless God allows it. And if he does, it's because he's got a better plan. God has a better plan. Turn over to 1 Chronicles. Turn over to 1 Chronicles, chapter 32. Oh, excuse me. It's 2 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles doesn't have 32 chapters. We got to understand what God's part is in his ability to fight the battle for us. God fights our battles for us, and we don't even know that he is on the scene. And he's taking care of business behind the scenes and will help us. How many of you want God's plan? Well, in 2 Chronicles, Judah had become invaded by an adversarial army. And God began to give some instructions to Hezekiah. And he said in verse 7, he gave him this instruction: be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be dismayed because of the king of Assyria, nor because of the multitude which is with him. For the one, everybody say the one. For the one who is with us is greater than the one who is with him. In other words, Hezekiah, it don't matter. Don't be moved by what you see. But one who is greater with you is far more greater than all of those that are with him. In other words, don't be anxious. You just do what I tell you to do, and everything's going to work out all right. Walt Whitman, I don't know how many of you might know Walt Whitman, the singer, but years ago he came out with a song that I believe everything is going to be all right. Amen. I love that song. It is a kind of a country western, I guess, approach to it, but it's powerful, the message in that thing. What it is it doesn't matter what's going on. Everything is going to be all right. And that is what he's saying here. Be strong and courageous. Don't fear. Be dismayed. For everything is going to be all right. For with him is only an arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battle. And the people relied on the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. What a proclamation over the people when the enemy was coming in force. And Hezekiah got the word of the Lord and said, hey, don't be anxious about this. God is in control. He's coming. And he is going to take care of this for us. How many of you want God to take care of it? Our God is able. Turn over to Isaiah 41. Actually, I'm going to go back up to chapter 40, verse 28. He said, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary. To him who lacks might, he increases their power. Though youths grow weary and tired, the vigorous young men stumble badly. Yet," everybody say yet. "For those old men," excuse me, it didn't say that. It says, come on, old men, help me up here. "Yet those who wait for the Lord, they will gain new strength. They will mount up," what? "With wings as eagles. And they will," what? "Run and not tire. And they will walk and not become weary." God's promise to us that he is on the scene and he is our provision. And then in chapter 41, in verse 8, he says to Israel, "But you, Israel, my servant, Yaakov, Jacob," whose name was changed to what? Israel, Jacob, whose name in Hebrew is Yaakov. Yaakov's name was changed to Israel. That's who he's speaking. "Jacob I have chosen, who's descendant of Abraham. My friend, you have I taken from the ends of the earth and called from its remote parts and said to you, 'You are my servant. I have chosen you and not rejected you.'" How many of you know you're the chosen of the Lord? And he has not rejected you. God is not mad with you. God loves you. You are precious in his sight. Do you know how precious you are? Jesus went to the cross for you. That's how precious. Just knocked over your cup. That's how precious. God allowed his only son to go to the cross and be crucified for me and you. That's how precious we are. Do you think he wants us to succeed? Right now, today, this moment, the Holy Spirit is brooding right now. Receive it, church. Be more than a conqueror. Be victorious. Walk in a new place in God. Set your feet a-dancing and say, "Praise God, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I don't care what that storm is saying. I'm going to the other side." Now you can huff and puff and blow all you want to, but I'm going to the other side. Because that's what Jesus said. Jesus has spoken some good things over your life. God says, "I have a plan for you. A good plan." And God wants to prosper you and to bless you. "Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of earth, do not become weary and tired. His understanding is inscrutable." And yet we go over to chapter 41 where we just were. And he said, "I will strengthen you," in verse 10. "Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all of those who are angered at you will become shamed and dishonored. Those who contend with you will be as nothing and will perish." Oh, church, the promises of God. And I want to say today, Lord, let it be done according to me according to what? Thy word. Psalms 34. Now, this will bless you. Lord, give us ears to hear today. Psalms 34. Oh, what a promise of God.
You talk about his being available 24/7. Psalms 34 says this, church. Psalms 34 says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his what? His praise shall how often be in my mouth? Continually in my mouth. And it says, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. In other words, we need to be bragging on God. And the humble shall hear it, and they shall rejoice. In other words, we need to be so effervescent in our personalities and our excitement that people come up and say, Mimi, what is it about you? I mean, everything's going wrong. What is it about you, girl? And she's just bubbling all over the place, bouncing off the walls, blowing the chauffeur, having herself a great time. And the storm is blowing. And the wind is contrary. And the humble hear thereof of this, and they're going to rejoice when they begin to get the good news and you begin to share something with them. That's what being a witness is. When you walk into a room and the darkness is over the room, it ought to just be radiating with light, because light just walked in. Light just came in the room, church. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, the word says, and let us exalt his name together. It says in verse 4 that I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and it did. What did he do? He delivered me from all of my fears. And they looked to him who were radiant, and their faces shall never be the same. Now, this is me, church. It says here, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him from all of his fears, all of his troubles, all of his fears. This poor man. Is there a man in here today that can say, this poor man cried, this poor woman cried out to God, and the faithfulness of God, in his faithfulness and his love and his passion and his desire for us to be successful and live a fulfilled life, and success is to walk in victory. Whatever measure of success is sufficient is to walk in the fullness of God's provision. Remember this. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him from all of his fears. And it goes on to say, and the angels of the Lord encamp. They're camping out. They camp out around them that love him, respect him, that fear him. And delivered them. And it said they will never be ashamed, because God is on their side. Whew. Listen, often is the time I go to that song. And I say, hey, Lord, by the way, this poor man is crying out to you today. I need some relief. I need your help. And I'm serious as a heart attack, as they say up here at the church. This is for real. Because there are no exceptions in here. We're all in the boat. And we're going to the other side. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him from all of his fears. In verse 8, it says, if you don't think it's so, try it. He said, oh, taste
and see that the Lord is good. He is faithful. If you don't know it, just taste it. You don't have to buy the whole thing. Just taste it. It's like going to someone who's out in the Sahara Desert and they've been there for a couple of weeks. They've been out of water for 2 or 3 days. How many of them know it's very dry? And they're pretty thirsty about right now. And that sun is baking the stew out of them. And somebody comes up with a little cart pushing along. He's just tooling along, got an umbrella over him, you know, and ice in the cooler. And he goes up to him and says, "Hey, brother, you're in a mess." Said, "Look here what I got for you." He dips up that ice and he takes that big cold Coca-Cola and he's pouring it over that ice and that foam is coming up. Woo! He could spit cotton. He's so dry. And the man says, "Just taste this and see. Just taste it. Hey, you don't have to drink much of it. If you just taste it, you're going to find something good here that's going to help you." How many of you know it's hard sometimes to get somebody that's in that man's condition just to taste it? And if we just say, "Hey, I'm not trying to put something on you or sell you something. All I want you to do is, would you consider this?" And you know all the time you want to say, "You're in big trouble." Just taste it. Just take a little sip. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. God had to instruct the father of faith, listed in the faith of the heroes of faith, Abraham. The first instruction God gave to Abraham was, "Abraham, don't fear. I've got it worked out. Everything's going to be under control. You're going to be the father of great nations. Not even the sands of the sea. Not even the sands of the stars of the sky can number your descendants. You're going to be so great." But he had to preface all of that by saying, "Abraham, don't fear." Now, Abraham is listed in the list of the heroes of the faith. It says, now Abraham by faith. Faith-filled Abraham. But faith was preceded by God telling him not to fear. So God's saying to us today, let faith arise. Don't fear and don't be anxious for anything. For God shall supply all of our needs according to what? His riches. How many of you know he's got all the provision that we need? In Joshua chapter 1, what was God's instructions to Joshua? Turn over to chapter 1. Let's look at this right quick. Joshua had just taken over from the assignment from Moses. Moses had died. And Joshua was commissioned to fulfill the promise of God to the nation of Israel to take them into the promised land. And God's instructions to Joshua was this. He said, "Joshua, my servant Moses is dead. Therefore, arise and cross this Jordan and all of this people to the land I'm giving them. And every place of which the sole of your foot treads, I've given it to you as I spoke to Moses. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. If I've been with Moses, I'll be with you. I will not leave nor forsake you." And then he said in verse 6, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land." In verse 7, he said, "Only be strong and courageous." And then in verse 9,
He said, do you think Joshua was kind of retarded or slow learning or not very good at remembering what God said? He told him again and again. Why? Because he knew he was going to need it. He knew Joshua needed to have that one thing set in his spirit, to be confident in God, to be strong and courageous and not what? Fearful. Don't fear, because God is with you, Emmanuel. Because why? Because God's got a plan. Got a plan for Joshua, got a plan for the nation of Israel, and hey, we're coming out of the wilderness, we're moving over into the promised land, we're about to cross the Jordan. Hey, turn over with me. I just thought it. Turn over with me. Chapter 6. Chapter 6 in Joshua. I love this. I like to go to Israel and I like to stand on the tell there. There's nothing there at Jericho. All the walls are down and all of that business. Nothing there but a heap of ruins. And I love to stand there and ponder on old Joshua and all that's going on when he was on the other side of the Jordan about to cross over. And Jericho was standing tall, had all their army there on the walls in the city. And he takes Joshua and shows him Jericho. Now, verse 1 says, now Jericho was tightly shut up, shut because of the sons of Israel. Because Israel had shown up, the city was shut up. And no one went in or out. I mean, they were anchored down. They were getting ready to do war. They were ready for Israel to come over, and they were going to defend their city. And God said, the Lord said to Joshua, I love this. See, I've given you Jericho into your hands with its kings and all the valiant warriors. Can't you see, Joshua? I was up there one day, and I was just imagining what was going on. And here was Joshua looking over with fried egg eyes, you know, just wide open, imagining what that was like over in Jericho. The army was on the walls. The walls were up. The city was closed up tight. Joshua didn't know the plan right now. How many of you know sometimes you don't know the plan? Sometimes we just have to trust God. And he tells us everything is going to be all right. I've got a feeling everything's going to be all right. And that was what he was telling Joshua. And Joshua was standing up there listening to this. And God said, see, I have given Jericho into your hands with its king and all of the valiant warriors. I mean, they have not done anything. The walls were still standing. The army was still in place. He hadn't even crossed the Jordan yet. And God said, look over there, Joshua. I've given you that city. And I can just hear Joshua say, excuse me? Because nothing had taken place. And he didn't know the plan. But God said, how many of you know that city, the moment God said that, it was already Joshua's. It didn't matter about the kings. It didn't matter about the army. It didn't matter about the walls. He said, Joshua, we got a plan. And here's what I want to do. Now, church, the challenge for me and the challenge for you is to grab hold of God's plan. Is not see things in the natural. Because we are a supernatural people. And we have incredible limitations of what we know we can't do. But when God shows up, in John chapter 5, it talks about a man that had been sick for 38 years laying by the pool of Bethesda. Now the pool of Bethesda is just inside of the lion's gate. It's called in the Bible the sheep gate because it was a sheep gate where they traded sheep outside and on Friday before Shabbat began and the sacrifices began on the Temple Mount. It was just around the corner from the entrance to the temple. And inside of that gate, and it's also called St. Stephen's Gate,
because it's just outside of that gate that St. Stephen was stoned. That's the location, just side of the temple. And right inside of that gate is the Pool of Bethesda. Now, Jesus was there for the Passover and visited the Pool of Bethesda. Now, here's this guy that's been laying there for 38 years. The Bible said he was laying there in his condition. And Jesus shows up and he asks the man a very interesting question. He said, "Do you want to get well?" Now, that's a strange question to ask somebody who's been living his life for 38 years. That's more than half the man's life. Amen. By this pool, and he said, "Sir, you don't understand my situation. Because at the right time, when the stirring of the water takes place, when the angel comes down, and the first one gets into the pool is healed. And every time for all of these 38 years, somebody beats me in the water." How many of you know sometimes after 38 years, the angel may come, but you say, "Well, that's for somebody else. I've been trying a long time. I don't care what the water's doing. It's not for me. It's all right for John over there or Philip or Mushi. But I've been here too long. I already know." And he throws a pity party for Jesus. He said, "You don't understand the condition I'm in, and you don't understand the situation. But here's what takes place." And Jesus looked at the man with great compassion. And he said, "Oh, my, what a miserable condition you're in. I am so sorry. I am so moved and I am so sorry, and I just want to have this party with you, this pity party." I mean, I know that's not what happened. Jesus did not even respond to him other than this: "Take up your pallet and walk." Jesus would say to us today, in your mess, in my mess, and whatever the situation is, "Don't wait for something else, because I'm here. Take up your pallet and walk. We're out of here." John chapter 5, the promise of the Lord. And the man took up his pallet, and he began to walk out of that place. Now, how many of you want to get it done today? Take up your pallet, no matter what it is, and let's truck out of here. Let's walk out of here. Do you know, and I was there one day and pondering all of that and began to realize the man picked up the very thing he'd been laying on all of those 38 years and walked out of there. We're out of here, church. We're going to walk in a new place of victory and a new provision of God, because there's no fear in the house. There's nothing can happen to you that you need to be fearful of. Or for me. God's in control. Emmanuel. And then he told the man, you know what day it was that this took place? It was on the Sabbath. A plus. It was on the day of rest. What a wonderful day for that to happen to us. What day is today? It is our day of rest. So why don't we enter into his rest right now? And say, "Lord, I'm just going to step over here and enter into my rest right now, because you've said I can be set free. I can walk out of here, out of this pool of Bethesda, out of this place that you've provided to show up that I can experience you in a powerful way. Walk out of here, set free." Of course, this is more than a pool of Bethesda. You understand what I'm saying? It was the infirmity infirmary. It was the infirmary of Jerusalem. And that's where Jesus showed up. I mean, I know this can be a little infirmary in here for us. It's where we come to get fixed, to be encouraged, and to be set free. And the same God that did that 2,000 years ago, the same Jesus, the same power, the same authority, is right here this morning. Is anyone else that needs to stand with me and say, Father, I need to be set free of something. I don't know what your thing is, but I guarantee you we're all carrying something. And it's baggage. We need to repent and just say, Lord, forgive me, and be healed and set free, and declare that this is a new day, and be declaring right now 2 Corinthians 5:17. Who can quote that for me? 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'll give it to you and you'll take off on it. Any man or woman that's in, come on, is a what? New creation. And what else? And what? How many of you want the new things today? All right, let's stand before the Lord. God, help us, Father, to have faith this morning. Would you stir in us our faith? You've given us all a measure of faith. And Lord, in my simple understanding, I know that for me, faith is a confident expectation that you're in charge. Confident expectations that something good is going to happen. That I have no reason to be fearful. No reason to be anxious about anything. Because I know you're in charge. I know that you're going to come walking on the sea. And you're going to get in my boat this morning. And you're going to rebuke the waves. And you're going to rebuke the sea. Because you've got a plan. And we're going to the other side. Whatever that is over there on the other side is your business. But if that's where you're going, that's where I want to be. And would you help us get there this morning, Father? And if there's any weight or pressure on anyone this morning that's carrying anything, like Brother Ray that's facing surgery, Lord, you're already ahead of us on that. There's no reason to be anxious about that. For our God shall supply all of his needs according to your riches and glory. And Father, if there's anyone here being anxious, if there's any anxiousness about this baby that's about to come, that this mother, Lord, just be full of the glory of God. And she's about to participate with you in bringing forth of a miracle. Bless this woman, Father. I know she's precious to you. And I know this little cargo that she's carrying is super precious to you. And you've got a plan and a purpose for that baby's life. And not only that, Lord, you knew this baby before it was ever created in her womb. Oh, that's beyond our comprehension. Bless her, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that everything is going to be perfect. And bless this dad, Lord. Give him wisdom. Help him to be a godly father, a godly man. That they would be anxious for nothing and fearful of nothing, but look forward to this blessed day. And Lord, anyone that's in here right now that needs to be set free from something. Lord, I just want to be in the front of that line. I just confess right now. We need your help, Lord, today. Set us free, Lord. Your word says that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Would you make that real for us today, Father? Would you set our feet a dancing? Would you bless the one we're standing next to right now? We just pass your blessing right now. Just reach over and pass the blessing of God to the one you're standing next to. Give thanks for that mighty warrior, that precious vessel in the Lord right now. The one you're touching is precious in His sight. They're the gift of God to us in our fellowship here. And they've got something that we need from ministering one to another, because we're not complete in ourselves. Thank you for the family of God. Now, Lord, go with us today. Let us enter into our rest. 38 years is a long time to sit by a pool when we can be set free this morning. We're coming out. This is our coming out party. We thank you, Father. It's party time with you. And we give you praise, honor, and glory. For you're faithful, O God. Faithful are you, Father. Faithful, Father. This poor man cried, and you heard him, and deliverance came. In Jesus' name.